Now again, at the bottom of page 15, this seems to be the case because the internal friction developed among the Jews. Now we'll see that as we go further along, especially when we begin to pick up the history. Further, the term false prophet seems primarily Jewish. Back on page 16, we're coming to that. Well, we haven't got there yet. Cheer up, that's the next page. Further, disregard of God's law by the Jews has constantly increased until today we have Orthodox, Conservative, and Reformed Jews. Now, let me call your attention to 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Alongside of it, many false prophets have gone out and still go out into the world. Now, this was written before 70 AD, I believe. And I can't go into proof of this, but it's before 70 AD. So this has happened, that these false prophets have come out of Jewry. And you will see a lot of this in our second section. Look also at 2 Peter 2. Now 2 Peter is written to the Gentile believers, whereas 1 Peter was to the Hebrew Christians. But there were false prophets also among the people, that is the Jews, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So you compare this with 2 Peter 2, where it says false prophets among the people, that is the Jews, compared to false teachers in the church. So it would seem to me that we should call what we have in the Gentile part of the body, we would call those false teachers rather than false prophets. Now I've made a note here on Matthew 24:12 from page 15. It amazes me how little interest most Jews show in their own scriptures. Even more amazing is the lack of interest shown by most Jews in the state of Israel. And Matthew 24:13 is exactly the same as Mark 13b. Here it is. But the one having persevered with reference to a finish, this one will be saved. Now, two words make this verse particularly difficult. The word finish, see the little star, telos, and the dark star, saved, sozo. Alfred gives three possibilities. Now, here they are. This is the way he puts it. The primary meaning of this seems to be that whosoever remained faithful till the destruction of Jerusalem should be preserved from it. No Christian that we know of perished in the siege or after it. See below. Now hold it right there. That's his number one offer. Now, in view, come to the margin, in view of what we covered on page 15, it seems unlikely that first possibility could be possible. That would put this verse before the period the Jews have been continuously hated. And that does not add up, in other words, that this they would be faithful up till the end of the siege and so forth. The first place, it isn't supportable by history, just because he doesn't know of any Christian that perished or any outstanding Christian. Just remember, there must have been in the siege of Jerusalem many believers that fled out into the wilderness, and we don't know what happened to them at all. That's very weak evidence. And putting it ahead of the being hated, well, they were being hated, you see, all through this whole period, and the internal friction had already developed at great length. The second alternative he offers, but it has ulterior meanings, according to which telos, that's the word finish, will signify an individual, to an individual, the day of his death, his martyrdom, as in the case of some of those here addressed. In other words, they were put to death. Now, let's look at that one a minute. And the second option, in the margin, perseverance till death, is a possibility. for telos, finish, is used this way. Look at Hebrews 7:3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, that's the word finish, finish, telos, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So it is very, very possible, and I think probable. Now let's go a little further, because his last item, going back to Alfred, the last item to the church, endurance in the faith to the end of all things. Well, that to me, the third option, I've got it in the margin, is extremely unlikely. Jesus is speaking to Jews, that's one thing, and at best, this verse could then apply only to those few living at the end of the whole time, right up to the restoration of the kingdom. That wouldn't mean very much. But in addition, there is no article in front of the word finish. It doesn't say the finish. If option two is correct, the word saved would be in its most common use. And Luke seems to support this meaning, because look what Luke says. And hair out of your, see our personal pronouns go back in again, head by no means might perish. In your perseverance, you acquire your souls. All the personal pronouns are in there again, and the emphasis is upon those he's speaking to. And I would say that it means the fact that ultimately these people that have been faithful as Christians, at their death, they will be saved, that is, have eternal life, in the simple sense. And I think that, to me, is the best option, that number two. But you can see it is a problem verse, and I don't want to hide anything, excuse me. All right, now, page 17. The word finish, telos, does occur in these passages four times with the article. That is, the end, the finish, they call it the end. Now, there's Greek-English lexicon lists all four as connected with the birth pains. Look at it. What end is intended, the reader must determine by the context. Thus, to telos. To is the telos. That the only letter you can't read there is that L in the middle, telos. And you can read it now because I've told you, so it's no problem. To telos, the finish, denotes the end of the messianic pangs, that is, the birth pains. In Matthew 24:6-14, Mark 13:7, and Luke 21:9. So you see, he connects the four of them with the birth pains. Three times we are told when the finish is not, back on page 11, and there are scriptures. The World Wars 1 and 2 were the beginnings of the birth pains. On page 12, we saw the result of World War 1 in regards to the birth of the State of Israel. As a result of the Holocaust, particularly of the Jews in World War 2, the State of Israel was born. And this, of course, is what the birth pains brought forth, the State of Israel. And so the finish has this in view, and it's supported by Thayer's Greek English lexicon. They are in conformity with that, and it has to do with the birth pains. That's what the telos has to do with. Now, this one that we've just taken up and seen the difficulty in the verse, Mark 13:13b, page 16, this is a difficult verse. Looks like that we have looked at it in the right light, option number two of Alfred, and it does seem like it refers to salvation in the normal sense, especially in the light of Luke 21:18. And I have to leave it there. I can't go any further. Now, once the State of Israel is born, and this is the Palestine Post, on May 16, 1948, and the new state came into existence. Now, of course, the State of Israel is the beginning of the Kingdom of Israel, and I want you to look at Matthew 24:14. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached in the total inhabited earth with reference to a testimony to all the Gentiles, and then the finish will be present. Now, this is time now to pull a few things together, because if you'll go over and over this whole study as much as I've gone over it, you'll begin to see a clarity in this that's very remarkable and very helpful. Go to the cover. It says see the cover. Go to the cover right this minute. And to me, this is an amazing postal cover on the front of this section. You've seen it before in the Haggadah, those of you who've been with us in Haggadah. And here's the scripture. I put this scripture on the cover. Don't misunderstand me. This didn't come with it. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, I'm going back on that in just a minute. Notice the United Nations postage stamp. That is not an Israeli postage stamp. That's a United Nations postage stamp. 20-cent stamp, but depicting the flag of Israel. Thou hast given them a banner, Psalms, that it may be displayed because of the truth. The proclamation of the kingdom. And I think it's Psalm 60, verse 4, if I recall correctly. You can find it anyway. Now, here they are, raising the flag. Israel admitted to the United Nations, May the 11th, 1949. And, of course, that verse that I gave you is important enough. I really should have put it in. If you've got a pencil, why don't you mark it? Let me look and see if I can find it for you quickly. And I think it's Psalm 60. I've used it before in the book Land Born in a Day. And it is Psalm 60. Mark that down. And it begins this way. Verse 1. I'm sorry, the scripture isn't here, but I suggest you cut it out and put it in here. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast broken us down, thou hast been angry. O restore us again. You see, toward the restoration. Thou hast made the land to tremble, thou hast rent it, healed the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Now, they've been through the Holocaust and all. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of staggering. I'm reading from American Standard, by the way. Verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. Why? That it may be displayed because of the truth. Now here is a postal cover, and this postal cover was issued, look at the date of the stamp cancellation on it, September the 23rd, 1983. That's the first day of issue of this United Nations stamp showing the banner to be displayed because of the truth. And on it, the picture of Israel having raised the banner May the 11th, 1949, at the United Nations. When it was raised, then the gospel of the kingdom was preached worldwide, and this flag depicts the truth. Blue and white are the colors of the tribe of Judah, and the star in the middle is the star of David, or the shield of David, much more correctly. And the shield of David is Jehovah, the Messiah, and he's coming back. And so this is the display because of the truth. So the gospel, as far as I'm concerned, or the good news of the kingdom, has been preached to the total inhabited earth in our day. We have seen it happen. Now come down back on page 17 a minute. I want to summarize these things for you. I'm going to have a few seconds to do this. When Israel was admitted to the United Nations, May the 11th, 1949, the Gentile world knew the Israeli kingdom was again in existence. And I believe the finish became present. Because if you'll look at the consistent translation once more, and notice not will come, not end either, this good news of the kingdom will be preached in the total inhabited earth. That is where the population is heavy, not world, because there'll be isolated places that won't know anything about it. But with reference to a testimony to all the Gentiles, see, not nations, all the Gentiles, and then the finish will be present. Will be present. Not will come, will be present. And so the finish became present. But now go back to the rest of the printing further down now. This is the word telos, but nothing is said as to how long the finish will be. You say finish, well, end is end. What are you going to do with end? Oh, but it isn't end. That's the problem. It's the word finish. The finish will be present. Now, the finish is going to take time. You say, well, how do you know that? Look further. Note question number 3, back on page 6. Here it is. You don't have to turn back. And what the sign at the time that all these things might be being about, watch, to be being finished completely. That's a different word. So the finish is present. The finish runs time. But they asked about being finished completely. That is, his presence and the end of this whole age and the beginning of the Messianic Kingdom. And question number 4, back on page 6, and the complete finish of the age. There it is again, when he would send forth the angels to the harvest. So you see, we have two things here that are very mixed up, and you need to keep them separated because the Word of God is exact, and these words are chosen meticulously. So the finish is present, and we're living, I believe, in the finish. But the point is, when do we get to the complete finish, and how long will the finish itself last? Now, in this section, I definitely want to review. And I want you to get this because this section is now going to lead in to our second section, which is going to drop back. Now look at the last paragraph on page 17. Having given so much information concerning the finish, Jesus now turns their attention back to the coming desolation of Jerusalem. We'll consider those things in section 2. Now that'll become very important because the pre-trib position considers the desolation of Jerusalem as yet future. And they have got this whole series completely tangled their way. And if you take it straightforward as this pair of apologetics, 14 and 15, do, you will see a straightforward fulfillment that matches history. And in our next section, we're going to go at great length into history. So I want to summarize. Go back for a moment to page 3. And keep in mind, I'm going to just show you, these are 6 very important facts. And if you'll get these, maybe you even want to jot them down. The first one, that the temple would lie destroyed. That's important. It has to be rebuilt. It will lie destroyed all this time. And that's a very important fact. Not just be thrown down, but will lie in that condition. Those of you that have been to Israel and been on the Temple Mount, you have seen the temple is not there. The west wall is there, no temple. West wall is only a retaining wall for the whole of the superstructure. But the temple does not exist, and it's to lie that way, and that's very, very important. The second major point that I want you to consider, and if you don't understand, go over and over, is the fact that I've tried to cover it a little bit in other apologetics, is the fact that the teaching of immanence would develop in the last days. And we have seen that as become a very, very predominant doctrine among fundamental people who do believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and yet they've developed this false teaching which is deliberately keeping them blinded to the prophecies of our day. And that started in 1830, page 10. That's an important date for you to remember because for 154 years, they've been telling you that the Lord can come at any moment. Well, any moment has turned out to be 154 years so far. So how much longer is it going to be? We don't know exactly. But we do know we are in what I believe is called the finish. Not up to the completely finish. That's when we're going to get there yet. We've got a lot of events to go in here. All right? Now, the third point that I want you to consider and remember right along is that in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, Matthew 24, 8 and Mark 13, 9, that is the key, page 12, the birth pains, not sorrows, as King James That loses the whole thought altogether, and I have been putting emphasis on that. And not, by the way, the pre-tribulation people say this is the birth pains of the tribulation. Well, that's because they wrongly define tribulation, and you don't have birth pains of a tribulation. I mean, that doesn't even make sense, really, if you stop and think. But the birth pains of the state of Israel. And I've shown you the support for that. I've shown you that even the lexicon connects these two. And so with a Holocaust of over 6 million, if something worse than that is to happen in the tribulation, and as they often put it, in Israel alone and mostly on the Jews, because they're very anti-Semitic, and if they put that way, then we've got years and years to go, because we don't have anywhere near that population, let alone making it any worse than that. And so, you see, you've got lots of questions and problems, but if you keep making one thing wrong, you end up with everything wrong, and you end up in total confusion. Now, the fourth point that I want you to really remember is the fact that of verse 10 in Mark 13 is a very key verse, that with reference to the Gentiles, it's essential to good news. This, by the way, is the good news of the salvation which we preach. And this is the difference. It's with reference to Gentiles that they can be added to the body. This was without circumcision and so forth. This was the early controversy, and this is very essential. And that has been done. Now, that's the point four I want you to review. And now point five that's so critical is on page 15. And I want you to review that they will be being hated by all because of my name. And that's a periphrastic future. Now, as we get to the next section, you're going to see these continuing things put on a graph for you and overlapping so that you'll see them more clearly. Because we're going to pick up some more periphrastic futures that are going on all the time. In fact, we're going to have three of them in this passage, and we're going to explain these to you a little bit more as we go. But this constant hatred of the Jew is absolute proof. And the Hebrew Christian is in that group as well. And they have been ostracized even by so-called Christian churches. And Joseph Cohen told me, American Board of Missions to the Jews, that when he was a boy or young man, he was sent out by his dad to reach into Gentile churches to tell them about the need of the gospel to the Jew. And as he did this, he was put on a salary of $25 a week if he could get the churches to give it to him. Well, he said it was just almost impossible to get any church to even listen to getting the gospel to the Jew back in his day. And recently, of course, it's taking a turn, but that's because we're coming up to the restoration of the kingdom. So things are turning. I'm not saying they're not turning, but even the Hebrew Christian has been hated by all, even by the so-called Christians. And this is a very sad fact, and one that is something we should constantly keep in mind. But that's a prophecy that Jesus has given, and it's fulfilled. Now, the last point, and the most important one in this whole area, is the one stated on 17, that this good news, not of salvation, but this good news of the kingdom, the restoration of the kingdom, I just gave you that Psalm 60 passage to add, will be preached in the total inhabited earth with reference to a testimony to all the Gentiles, and then the finish will be present. When that flag went up, and you can look at that cover, and I thank the Lord for letting me find that cover, because it came, an advertisement came for it in the stamp magazine that I get. And it came just in time for me to get it for the Haggadah this spring. And to me, it is an absolutely beautiful thing to see that the gospel of the kingdom has been preached to all the Gentiles when that flag of Israel went up. And the flag of Israel flies around the world, and Israel rapidly advances into a lead position. Now, all of this is exciting, but now we're going to take, in our next study, section 2, and it'll be Apologetics 15, and we're going to drop back and take up the whole desolation of Jerusalem. And I hope you keep in mind how these pronouns go in and go out. And they're separated. I put them in boxes for you. And I want you to get that in mind, because that is one of the keys to the understanding of this whole area. Thank you.